And the king said, "Is there not anyone in the house of Saul?" God says to us, "Is there not anyone in the house of Jesus that I have not touched?" Often we are tempted, but David had just subdued his greatest of enemies, the Philistines, the Moabites, and the Syrians. And he sat at his palace looking back over the past and how he had come from the sheepfold to the throne room. And how God had taken, and the wonders that God had worked, and the grace in his life. He had it all. And he began to look for a way that he could demonstrate to someone else that was just as unworthy as he was. And in verse 3 he said, "That I might show the kindness of God unto him." The son of Jonathan would become the recipient of David's act of grace. But there's a deeper story here. The story of God's grace towards us. And it reveals God's grace will find us. See, it starts in the throne room and it comes out. David asks, "Is there not any of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness?" Grace begins in the throne room and reaches out. Like the son of David, before we were ever aware of grace at all, God had already sent it out looking for us. While we were yet in sin, God's love sent his son to the cross to die for us. God's grace remembers us. Forgotten by his nation, abandoned by his family, no reason to be remembered. Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, can't even say son anymore. But out of God's grace, David remembered, and this man was crippled. And here's what's really neat. He brought him into house and he said, "Son of Jonathan, I restore to you all that was your grandfather's. All the land that was King Saul's, I give back to you." Now that's pretty good. But wait, it gets better. "Not only do I give you all, but I give you a place at my table perpetually. You will dine with me at every meal. You will eat what I eat. You will drink what I drink at every meal." So you've got all these lands, and I'm giving you all your servants back to farm your lands. I'm giving your money counters back to count your money. You'll never want for anything, but you're going to eat at my table. Now here's what's the coolest thing I've ever seen. When you're sitting at a table, and there they sat at tables. It's not like in Jesus' day. They sat at a table. When you're sitting at a table, what's not seen? You don't know who's handicapped of feet, who can't walk. He looked normal. He was sitting at the king's table perpetually for the rest of the days. His sons took care of the farms. He was normal at the king's table. And he had money. And he had resources. And he had lands. He was a property owner. He had been restored to all that had been King Saul's. No, he was not from Lodabar, where there were no pastures and barren and desolate and a place of hiding and destitute. You want Lodabar? Ask the prodigal son. He was found in a pig pen. You want Lodabar? Ask Joseph. He was found in a pit where his brothers had thrown him. You want Lodabar? Ask the Samaritan woman. She was found at the well in the middle of the day. by Christ himself. God's grace remembers us. God's grace pursues us. God's grace carries us. Jonathan's son couldn't come to David. So David went and brought him in. His men carried him. God's grace is where you abandon your crippled past. Saints of God, most of us have a crippled past. Most of us have stuff that's happened in our past that we're not proud of. But guess what? God's pushed that aside. We're not our broken person that we were. We're new in Christ Jesus. We're not who we were. And guess what? We're not who we're going to be, because tomorrow's a new day. Our failures today aren't with us tomorrow. Every day is a new day. We've been forgiven. I have been forgiven. I am going to be forgiven, and I'm yet to be forgiven again. Because for God, every day is a new day. Do I sin? Not on purpose, but I'm still flesh of flesh. And until God gets rid of my flesh, God help me. Grace is where I abandon my crippled self. Abandon my crippled life. Abandon my cripple mentality. Abandon myself to who I want it, the world wants to believe I am, and begin to believe who God says I am. I don't choose to live in Lodabar. Because God says, I live seated at his right hand. I live above the circumstance. Oh, I got to deal with the circumstance. But I live above the circumstance. I can speak to the circumstance and say, be thy remove and thrown into the sea, and believe in my heart and trust in God to deal with the circumstance. Is it tough? Yeah, we all know it is. But God is greater than my circumstance. Grace is where you discover that you were born to be an overcomer. You're in a position of favor, not as one of the king's sons, but as heir. And if heir, co-heir with Christ Jesus, in a perpetual position where Christ is with us day and night. We're in a favored son's position, daughter's position. Grace has been called God's reward at Christ's expense. I heard a story. And it's kind of interesting. A miner was having real problems with grace and with salvation as a free gift. And he says, how can it be a free gift? There's got to be payment. There's got to be a payment. And this pastor said, well, did you go in the mines today? He said, well, of course I did. Well, how far down in the mine did you go? He said, about 2,000 feet. How'd you get down in the mine? He said, well, the elevator. Well, how'd you get up out of the mine? He said, well, the elevator. Well, did you pay a fee to ride the elevator down? Of course not. Did you pay a fee to ride the elevator up? Of course not. Well, you didn't pay a fee? You didn't pay anything for the elevator? So that was free? Well, the company paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to put in that. And the miner went, oh. So the company company paid the fee so I could get to work. And for the first time he understood, God paid the fee in Christ Jesus so he could get to salvation. See, a fee was paid, a very expensive fee for us to get to salvation. It was the life of the one and only Son of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I consider the life of my children to be very, very dear. Not a price that can be put on it. Can you imagine what the price of the only living Son of the living God is? And that's the price for my salvation, for your salvation. Embarking, are you embracing the grace that God has offered us? Grace is seeking us. If you're lost, you can know the grace right now. If you're a believer and you found that grace, but you need more, that grace is available. Grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy. That's what God is offering to us as believers. Because that is what we walk in. That's what makes us overcomers. We are not children that live in Lodabar. We are children that live in the palace of the Most High King. We are overcomers before we get up in the morning. We're not like, and I think Scott told this joke the other day, and it's one I've heard before. It's not in the morning when we wake up and we tell God how good we are, and then we say, but in a few minutes, I'm going to put my feet on the floor. No. We are overcomers until we choose not to be. God is with us always, as Scott said earlier. He never leaves us. When we get confused, when we get frustrated, I do. And I have to stop to realize, wait a minute, I'm not acting very faithful. The devil's in the mix, and I have to stop and pray. Please stand to your feet. Father, it's grace that we need. Your grace from the unseen, from the unasked for, from the undeserved. But we need more grace. Grace upon grace. Mercy upon mercy. We need you. We need you. If there's any in this room today that needs more grace, more mercy, just raise your hand. No one looking around. I see that hand. Any others? I see that hand.